This podcast is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds, the industry leader in automotive technology. Find out why dealers choose Reynolds over other providers by visiting rayray.com/win. That's rayray.com/win.
I'm Jason Stein, publisher of Automotive News, and this is Daily Drive for Tuesday, February 9th. Auto shows were already under pressure prior to COVID. The pandemic only amplified issues around cost, product reveals, and in-person experiences, which were not possible in 2020. With a year to analyze their place in the market, auto shows are taking stock and forming a new plan. No more so than at the regional level, where their importance is being underlined and emphasized. In Cleveland, Lou Vitantonio is looking for solutions in the pandemic. With 280 members of the Cleveland Automobile Dealers Association, he's adjusting plans and thinking about how the Cleveland Auto Show could operate going forward. It's a fine line between what's known today and what could be. And what will the experience look like in a new downtown facility? And what's the appetite for the return of auto shows? 12 months ago, Lou ran what is likely one of the last auto shows in North America. Now he's ready to tackle 2021. We've reached Lou Vitantonio in Cleveland, Ohio. Lou, it is good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Jason. I hope everything's going good for you.
Indeed. Let's talk about the last year and what you've seen out of your members. There are 280, you've told me, across 24 counties in Northern Ohio. Tell me a little bit about the resiliency that you've seen out of your dealer base.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I've been here for 25 years in the organization, running it for 10, almost 11. And again, I'm absolutely blown away, and I'm sure it's no different across the country, the resiliency and the ability of the franchise dealer to find a way to make it work. You know, they have to sell service cars, body shops, full service of their own, you know, their organizations, and they'll find a way. In our market, we were certainly, it was unique that we were able to stay open, you know, for sales and service. I know that that didn't happen in some of the neighboring states, but it wasn't that easy. I mean, you know, we needed to find ways to make consumers comfortable. And if they weren't comfortable coming in, we're going to find a way to, you know, get that vehicle to them or service their vehicle by picking it up at their house. And it's gone a long way, and it's been a learning experience in trying to, you know, handle not only your staff and the requirements of selling a vehicle and making sure a consumer is happy, but also, you know, all the different things that, you know, either the local county or the state is requiring you to do to make it, you know, a safe place for people to feel comfortable in again.
And you've seen your share throughout that quarter century of ups and downs. And, you know, you've told me that there have been big hills to climb before, but your members have climbed this hill now. They are learning how to climb this hill.
Right. And it does come down to what the consumer wants, Jason. I mean, you can only force so much to the consumer. They're going to tell you, hey, look, I want you to drop off a vehicle. There's people that will show up. And they may be out in the lots, and they want to come in, and they want to drive the vehicle. We have to change that operation, and who can ride with someone, and what can be done. But over the past 25 years, yes, I've seen some dark days for, you know, the franchised auto dealer and the industry itself, bankruptcies, all those different things. And even before my time, there's been some major hills to climb. I can tell you, at the end of the day, I couldn't be prouder to stand up and say, hey, I represent franchise dealers. You can throw everything that you got at them, and they're going to find a way to sell and service a vehicle. And it's just, again, it totally blows me away what they are able to do.
So let's get into another big hill to climb, and that's auto shows and regional auto shows. Give me the latest news on the Cleveland Auto Show.
Well, when we talk about hills, I had, you know, not only had one, and everybody's facing is obviously the COVID situation and trying to figure out how to pull off a show, and we haven't done it. I think we were one of the last ones in the country to have a show at the beginning of March of 2020. After that, you know, we haven't seen one other than what happened in Florida, I think in December of 2020. The other second climb is that my facility is no longer operational. It was owned by the city of Cleveland, rented to a private individual, and after the auto show in Cleveland, you know, he couldn't, you know, pro- produce any other shows. And so I have two mountains to climb. One, trying to pull off a show safely, you know, in this particular situation that we're in now with the pandemic. And then at the same time, I've got to move facilities. So I got a couple mountains to climb. And again, I've got support of our membership to make those, make it happen again. And regional auto shows, to your original point, very, very important, have been for years in connecting, you know, that buyer that's really looking to compare their vehicles under one roof. And, you know, we see it. You know, you can touch the vehicle, sit in it, and we're going to be able to do that again. It's coming. And then we're going to be able to drive it again and take test drives from multiple manufacturers. And then ultimately you go back to your dealership and to purchase something.
So as you look at this year, your anticipation is to have a show at the end of the year.
Yes. I mean, again, you have scheduling conflicts with moving into a new facility. We're moving into the convention center of Cleveland, in downtown Cleveland, a building that we were in, Jason, in 1980, probably 85 or 86 was the last year that we were at the convention center. It's an underground facility. Obviously, it's not as large as the IX Center, which is a tank plant back in the day before it became a convention center. But we are anticipating having a show. It's going to be the first two weekends in December, and we're trying to, you know, pull that off. And there's a lot to do before that can even take place.
So what does that look like, Lou? How do you anticipate, or how are you planning to bring people together again? Of course, we're all hoping that vaccine rollouts pick up speed and that comfort levels increase in terms of getting crowds together. But what are you sketching out now?
Well, I mean, here, you set all the other things aside that we can't control. Again, vaccines and some of the infection rates. And I mean, that's not up to us as far as the show. But what we can control is, you know, if we need to time tickets, we need to put in time slots, you know, sanitizers, cleaning. A lot of the, as we learn more and more about this, you know, this virus, it doesn't live on surfaces. It doesn't, you know, but we need to spread out. And the best way is to obviously wear masks and distance ourselves from others. So timing tickets, entries, different things and techniques that we've seen implemented, proposed. You know, Jason, you still have to get authority from either your local county, your city, municipality, or state to run these shows. So we're in that process now of asking for variances. We've learned a lot from, you know, pro sports, high schools, and different things that are having events. And again, you know, we equate it as to if people can go into, you know, a local supermarket or a Lowe's or a Home Depot, and, you know, you can identify which lanes you're going in what directions and limited capacities, there's no reason, absolutely no reason not to have a show, have the ability to have people do the same in a facility where they're looking at cars.
We'll hear more from Lou Vitantonio after this message.
In an industry where winning versus losing is seen as being an industry leader versus closing up shop, the stakes have never been higher. For Jason Owens, owner of Patriot Automotive Group, winning is easy. Profitability comes simple. How does he do it? Using a single system that makes doing business and maximizing every profit opportunity easy throughout the dealership. A system built to win. Let's hear directly from Jason how Patriot Automotive Group wins with Reynolds & Reynolds.
Everything that we have is designed around our DMS. This is everything. This is the bank, the safe, the vault. This definitely is the epicenter of our business. Every time you come into one of our stores, you get a consistent message. It's the same process, nothing different. It's all about the customer experience and how we can make things transparent and easy. And that really is everything to our business. If you have people in process, profitability comes simple.
Experience increased efficiencies, boosted revenue, reduced expenses, improved CSI, and greater long-term profitability with Reynolds Retail Management System. To hear more of Jason's story and learn more about the Reynolds Retail Management System, visit rayray.com/win. That's REY.com/WIN.
You touched on this earlier, but the importance of regional auto shows cannot be overstated. And I'm guessing as the world returns to some level of normalcy, they will become just as important, if not more important than they were before. And I'm guessing too that your members, your dealers' ability to now contract and execute sales in a different way than they did maybe a year or two ago, this could be kind of a hand in glove scenario, couldn't it?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, people are still engaged. Okay, you want to match a buyer and a seller. I think, you know, a lot of the different things that have happened and what we learned over the past year of, you know, people want touch points and they, you know, as far as digital and you can serve up ads, you still can't touch that vehicle. So I think there's an augmentation of you know, you have the digital question, you know, is everything going digital? But there is a desire for people to still sit in the vehicle, drive it. That's why the test drives are so popular, and see the vehicle, ask questions. And there's a missing, you know, we talk about pent-up demand. There's a pent-up demand for human interaction and being in front of somebody, maybe not only on the auto show side, but everything that we're doing these days. You know, we're not even having face-to-face meetings and things that we're, you know, unable to do. Today, matter of fact, we have a sales training. At our building, we're spread out. We have 20 people downstairs for a two-day sales training. And we're doing that because they need that interaction to learn how to sell. And we're doing it in a safe manner. The classes are full. I mean, they're full. Hands down, we're getting these things done because we think it's best to be in front of somebody. And that's going to translate to shows, home and garden, RV, boat, car shows. They will come back strong. It's just, when are we at that comfort level to start those up again? I think, you know, regional shows are very, very important. I think you guys said it a few weeks ago. That's where the money is. It has been for us for years. March, our traditional normal days or date pattern for our show always come after Chicago. March is the number one month we've had. When I started measuring it 12 years ago using an outside firm, we have the most new motor vehicle sales in the month of March. And there is nothing else going on other than the auto show. So our members understand it. They get it. They've actually said, hey, Louie, you know, you can't do an exhibitor report this year. There is no show. Put together an auto show investment report. We, as the dealers and the members, the 280 members of the association, we support the show. We're going to find a way to have it because it generates sales for us. It generates leads. It generates interest in vehicles and comparing and contrasting those vehicles at one place. So we're doing some things to make sure that people know that we're still engaged. Jason, we're not doing a virtual show. That doesn't help us. That's what dealers do every day, either between their own websites, the manufacturer's websites, some of the digital things. They're handling those things. What we're doing now is we're trying to make sure that people continue to visit their local car dealer that employs a lot of people, pays a lot of taxes, and is still the fabric of the community. And that's what we want to push people to do. When we can return to shows, then we'll be able to engage and make sure that we have an event that's partially entertainment, but also at the same time, it's a soft sell and it generates sales for the market.
Since we have you, Lou, what are your members thinking about the proliferation of EVs? This has been a hot topic in the last few weeks.
Sure. You know what? I think the manufacturers that we represent, you know, the franchisors that are bringing EVs to the market, they're here. They're going to be something that is going to be sold. It's going to be serviced through the dealerships. I know the members of this organization and many across the country said, hey, look, we'll invest. The GM side or whatever you know, manufacturer is requiring you to step up, they're ready to do it. They're going to compete. And I think we should embrace them. Again, there's still a place for the fuel vehicles and the things that we need to do. It will be a long time. I think they're a little bit aggressive as far as, you know, the entire fleet is out at 2025 or 2024. But I think we need to embrace them and get ready for that electric vehicle to stand next to a fossil fuel vehicle. And we're going to sell both. And it's going to come down to what the consumer's desire is. It's no different than what we're dealing with today, Jason. Is the people want to come into the stores, they want to get delivered at home, and they want to see the vehicle and just have it dropped off. That's fine. We'll adjust to that, and it's no different than than those vehicles being, you know, brought into the showrooms today. We're going to sell them and make sure that it's really what consumers want and desire, and we'll make it happen.
It's wonderful. We can't wait to see what it looks like when it all does come back, and we will certainly make our way to downtown Cleveland in December with all the hopes that you have a positive outcome at the end of the year, Lou.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I appreciate the time and what you guys are doing. And again, we have to find a way. It's not just you know, Greater Cleveland Auto Dealers. It's all the associations, national level, state associations. And Automotive News has been a partner, and we continue to find a way to retail and service vehicles and all the way into the future. The franchise system is strong. It's been there for a long time, and it's going to continue.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being on Daily Drive, Lou.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
We reached Lou Vitantonio in Cleveland, Ohio. And that's Daily Drive for Tuesday, February 9th. For breaking news, go to autonews.com. And for a library of more than 225 interviews, go to autonews.com/dailydrive. We'll be back Wednesday.